All right. Why don't I give a quick update? I have done very little myself, basically because I've gotten distracted by something that's a little more important called full-time employment again. I am starting to get back into the mode of being able to get back to doing work. And so with regards to open source. And so I hope to get some more work done on the Samba port, concentrate a little more on the specifics of the replacement code for the Trivial database so that it works on VMS, given that there's a starting point for that. And so that's where I am. I know what John has been doing, and specifically, John has been working on getting Jenkins to be more operational as far as continuous integration. And he has posted a, or started the posting of a Jenkins page on the wiki. And what I can do to make things a little more interesting for folks, I can actually share for those of us who have the web interface up and also describe it. The address for the information about Jenkins is if you go to the wiki and then add to the end of the wiki address slash using Jenkins CI, all pushed together, and then uppercase the using and the Jenkins and the CI on the first character of each of those. And John has created a wiki page that talks about what's been done and the various steps that he's used in terms of putting it together. So it is available to those who want to understand how it's working and even potentially replicate it. He is running Jenkins on Fedora Core 22 Linux to control the fetching of information from the various repositories so as to know when it's changing. And then he submits jobs to both VAX VMS, Alpha VMS, and i64 VMS, and has it working on all of those. And that's about the update that I have available as far as what's happening. So, Dave, I know you have some updates, so why don't we flip it over to you?
Well, most recently I visited the SQLite.org site and noticed they had a new release. So I downloaded it and applied my process of updating my kit. And then I made some minor fixes along the way. So it's still a bit of a mystery who's actually downloading this from the SourceForge site, because I haven't heard, anything good, bad, or different from any of the downloaders. Then earlier this month, I was looking at the DL open DL sim routines and writing a substitute. I learned it's mostly to learn some stuff about the IA64 and the L format. And that's about it.
Okay. We could, I don't know if you're going to get any response, but we can obviously put out a plea for anybody that's downloaded to provide you some feedback. I don't know if you've... Does your install kit encourage that as well?
No, it doesn't. I don't. I mean, I'm a little reluctant to just like stick my web address there and say, send me mail or what else, for what kind of spam would show up.
Okay. What about putting something to suggest in the install kit that they post on a discussion page on the VMS ports site, just something so you can just to encourage them.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I'll add something to the README file, since that's where they're downloading it from. It's a natural,
okay,
natural link to include.
Sure, just something to move them forward.
Right.
Okay.
Well, for all I know, these are just robots that are periodically scavenging all of SourceForge.
Well, I don't know about that, because if you look at the rest of it, you've got 11 downloads this week, and the rest of the environment doesn't. I mean, obviously there's some stuff that's being downloaded off of the alpha stuff, but it's not in any way consistent to anything that I can see that would suggest that there are, you know, robots that are going off and downloading.
Right. Okay, well, I mean, the last fixes I threw in there, you know, today or yesterday, would, you know, I think would be something somebody would comment on if they're actually trying to use it contention environment, where they're actually having to share the database between two processes, because you'd be getting a bunch of extraneous, you know, worrisome sounding messages, which really are normal, and we're in there for debugging more than anything else.
Okay. What's going on in? I saw something that you'd mentioned about putting sort of just update kits in instead of full kits.
Right. Because, I mean, this was kind of a bug, a last-minute fix that I didn't catch before I released the kit. And those kind of cosmetic changes. But so the plan is, if I find a couple more of those, I'll make a new incremental, which includes all the changes from the last kit release, and then when SQLite does a new version of SQLite, only pull a new kit for that, or make a new kit if I do a substantial change in my locking methods or something.
Okay. All right. Any issues you're having?
Any issues I'm having? No.
Anything you want to ask John Regan, since he's here from VSI tonight?
Well, I was kind of curious. Are you? From the Compos VMS, it kind of sounded like you're leaning towards enhancing the defined image symbol runtime function.
Well, we had the interesting discussion on what you found with the casing issue, and I mean, I certainly see the difference between whether DL Open uses libdefined image symbol or not, and whether I should just change DL Open's use of the existing libdefined image symbol to do the exact before the upper, or do I switch to something that you like have done, and because you're doing something that libdefined image symbol isn't quite doing the same way.
Right. Well, I was thinking about it, and it was I mean, if you just expose the symbol table that find image symbol builds internally, the C runtime could make use of that, because that's, in a sense, that's what I ended up doing, is building my own symbol table, which was customized for my needs of being case blind.
That certainly might be a reasonable compromise, as opposed to changing or making radical changes to find image symbols default behavior, but having some other way of obtaining some of the tree that it was building. I don't know. That's a I'd have to look at some more. Other than the fact that I think what's there could be improved, I'm willing to look at that, and I'm adding things to the list. But I mean, remember, from VSI point of view, I'm VSI only, which means it's Titanium only. I'm nothing I'm doing is for Alpha.
Good point.
So anybody who wants code that needs to do things for Alpha in the open source area, having your stuff to use as an alternative is so valuable.
Okay. Okay, for the people who weren't following the discussion on the other news group, the issue was blind image symbol only can do an exact case search. So the C runtime was kind of faking it by uppercasing for its searching, and a user had a particular problem with a library that had both an all uppercase form and a lowercase form of the same symbol.
Find image symbol can do an exact search. It's just that DLOpen happens to ask for the uppercase before it asks for the exact.
Right.
Find image symbol can do both. And my proposal in looking at internally when it was first added, some of the previous developers were arguing that the exact should have done before the uppercase, but the argument against that was, well, most everybody, the uppercase is, but the given that the compilers, other than C with names as is, most people are always uppercase, so let's take the path that will probably hit more than, it'll hit for Fortran, for COBOL, for Pascal, whatever. And I think they were just short-sighted on how they did that. Because they figure, I'm doing a deal open of a shareable and it was created by somebody else. It's probably all uppercase, and even C defaults to uppercase. I think, the minority who wanted to do the exact before the uppercase, I think that minority now has been shown now years later that they actually had, they were the visionaries.
Yeah. Well, you've got a similar issue with the name shortening logic. Like in the code I wrote, one thing I do is I test if there are any symbols at all that are long, and change the behavior slightly, figuring if you've tested for the long name, why, and you know that the library has long symbol names, do you really want to waste time shortening it?
Correct. There's and also the fact that the shortening algorithm is, there's no documented API for you to, I mean, like I said, inside the RTL, I have an entry point that'll shorten a name for you. But, I mean, right, it's up to you to figure it out from the documentation right now. And I actually think the CRTL or some art, you should actually provide a routine. If you wanted to shorten a name, you should be able to do it the same way that the RTL does it, to make sure that you're always matching.
Correct.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm taking note of all these things, and I internally against the CRTL, I've looked on the VMS ports site and other thing, all the emails I've collected over the years, or at least a year. And I have a huge wiki page inside of VSI of things that, things to do. I just, too many things, not enough people.
Correct.
But I'm listening and I'm trying. I think there's things I want to change. Like I said, we're talking, VSI releases only. least for me. I mean, I there's things that I do. I mean, the relationship between VSI and HP right now, I mean, I certainly can, I think it's within my ability to offer things back to them, but I have no way to convince them that they should take anything that I do. And I think, you know, and I don't even know the, I'm just an engineer. I don't know the legal agreement on, you know, who owns what. If it's something I do and I give it back to them, I don't know. So I just, you know, can look at what I can do.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. But the thing there is that what I'm looking at is that there's a lot of things that hindsight 2020 on the CRT and other things. That's the x86 64-bit port. Maybe the best place to have the major change.
John, I agree. There's a lot of things I want to change defaults on. Then going x86, there's a lot of baggage that I certainly, from my point of view, I can drop. And, you know, even if you look at what VSI is doing, you know, we have our alpha evaluation kit, and it's not clear whether we'll productize that or not. But, I mean, I certainly, from my code base, I don't have to worry about ancient versions of alpha or VAX, which lets me clean a lot of crap out and change a lot of defaults. But, again, you know, in the real world, you all have to live with stuff from different platforms and, you know, CRTLs that are older than anything that, you know, I can only look going forward. You have to look forward and backward.
Well, I'm just trying to keep this, since I've got it home running, we have an x86 in the future. It produces a hobby program.
I hope so. I know Sue's been talking about that, and certainly, you know, I think Claire is very interested in that as well. But, you know, again, only so many managers, so little time, and, we don't need more managers in the mix.
Yeah, well, I know that you got, there's a million targets out there, and there's no way you can hit them all. So I don't know if you're collecting some survey information from your big customers and also from boot camp is to help with determining priorities, but like money.
Certainly, I've collected stuff from some of the customers that have you know proactively sent stuff to us. You know, I've asked a couple times in CompOS VMS for some input. And certainly at boot camp, you know, people can send me stuff. In some sense, boot camp is a self-selecting community. It's the enthusiasts, but then again, it's also the people who are probably actively developing VMS. I certainly had a list of stuff from last time, ranging from, you know, very forward-thinking stuff to, you know, Bob Gesellter wadding unsigned in BASIC. So, yeah. We have to prioritize where we're going to spend our time.
Well, I missed the first 7 minutes of the conference here.
Well, what I did, John, thanks for joining us tonight. I actually gave just a quick overview of what you were doing with Jenkins and also the fact that I have been basically spinning my wheels with getting involved with my new employment. And so if you wish to give a bit more of an update on Jenkins, I mentioned the wiki page and the fact that you were running Jenkins on the on Fedora, and but that was about it.
Okay, well, I'd like to back up a little bit. The big thing that slowed me down was having all the fun and games with LSTAT, which it seems to be there seems to be something wrong with it. In both Alpha and IE64, different things, or possibly because their compilers built things differently. There's certain paths that you give it, like non-existent, dangling symlinks and stuff like that, that just seems to cause it to destroy the CRTL internally, which shows up a little bit later in the code. I don't know if John's been able to reproduce any of that at VSI or not on the Itanium.
So I actually had somebody look at that, and he tried, and we couldn't reproduce it. But in update, what, U900 from HP on Itanium, they fixed a lot of CRTL bugs. And looking at the CMS history, it seems that they did something around LSTAT. So depending, as a hobbyist, if you have, I don't know, you probably don't have the same level of code that I do. So I think it's been fixed, but I don't. But I haven't been able to reproduce it. We tried.
Yeah, I don't know if we can get that that kit added to the hobbyists one or not.
I don't know. That's an HP issue.
Yes, and it's become more difficult because John Egolf is no longer with HP, and so I'll have to do a bit more campaigning than I would have to have done in the past.
Yeah.
It's all I had to do was ask him to put the updated CRTL or the updated C compiler for Alpha up on the hobbyist site, and that was 72 hours later we had it.
Yeah, I know. It's not the same. It's not the same environment anymore. That's my problem. I'll make some queries.
But anyway, I did what I could to hide the LSTAT issue, but there was a limit to what I could do. The next thing is that for just about every one of the kits, except for SED, updated versions in the queue, it looks like we may be able to release it, make a release announcement, probably could make it a boot camp event to announce new kits for all that. They're all building on Jenkins. Got one new kit, DiffUtils. And CoreUtils has got a... I found that there was something that when I first released CoreUtils, I didn't... I meant to finish something in the port, and I didn't, and I forgot about it. But the ENV function is supposed to be able to take a program name and then search path and run it. And I never implemented the code to do that, and I meant to. And that's what I'm working on right now. And it's the code's now working so that it is a wrapper for execp or execvp, I believe, going from memory here. And what it does is it emulates the execvp on Unix in that it will look up through the path environment variable. And it also goes and opens the file that it finds to see if it's a script and processes the shebang line. And it processes the shebang line exactly the same way as on bash. I've got that working locally, but I haven't checked that in because I'm taking it one step further. Is what I'm going to have it do is that if it does, when it processes the shebang line, it looks up the image. And if it doesn't find the image, I'm going to have it go and look up the image as to see if that image is a DCL symbol as a foreign command. And if it finds it as a DCL symbol like a foreign command, which is how you'd likely find Java, Python, or Perl, then it will use the foreign command and pass the arguments through to it. So that's, and I was going to look at enhancing bash to do that and run it through some configurations and see if it caused any issues like the DCL fallback used to just totally break everything. But it wasn't doing the lookups in the same way. So that's where my thought is for the next step. And my only concern is there is a risk that if software starts finding foreign commands that I didn't expect to. That could cause problems. But the alternative is to come up with longer and longer paths to include where Perl is and where Python is and where Java is and where Ruby will be. Someone's got some thoughts of whether we should just not do the foreign command or set it as a something that can be turned on and off.
I do vote for the turn on and off, just in case it causes issues with things that we've already got in place.
Yeah. So, and on the Jenkins thing is that everything that is a replacement kit on GNV now is now under is now being built automatically by Jenkins anytime there is a code check-in. And the Goth project, which is actually being built every time there's a check-in to Gawk from anywhere, because Gawk is not in the GNV repository. Gawk we're building directly from the Gawk, the source, the Savannah, the GNU Savannah repository. So anytime they check in, a change to Gawk, my system builds it and runs the VMS self-tests on it. And that's the other thing that the Jenkins is doing, is that for several of the projects, I've been adding self-tests on it, and it provides me with a graph, pretty pictures and stuff. It's unfortunate that I can't make them public to be able to see that it's kind of useful to see graphs of the things being fixed. It's down the road, if we can set up a if we can figure out a good way to set up a dashboard, we can at least make that part visible. But I was thinking about having Jenkins send announcements to the GNV develop list every time it gets a build triggered by a check-in.
What about having it I don't know how frequently you're getting check-ins that cause it to do a build. I was thinking
we're looking once.
John, go ahead.
I've got the polling frequency set to only once to check the repositories for changes once a day.
Okay. I was thinking if you could do it so that it basically put a digest out once, you know, if it did a build that was successful in the day, you know, that day, and to have a digest for any of the builds it did.
Jenkins doesn't really have that type of facility to digest things like that directly. I'd have to look at how to do that. I haven't really explored everything that's to do with the Jenkins, but I've seen one that would send notifications only if if a build failed and the previous build succeeded, and then it would send a notification if after the failure the next build succeeded, and then after that it wouldn't send any notifications. I've seen it set up. I saw one system set up that way. I've seen others set up that they send a notification on every build, but you can tell it to only notify on successful builds too.
Yeah, but on the other hand, obviously, you want to know if a build has failed too. But you may not want to give it to the world.
Well, the big problem with making a public dashboard, aside from finding someone to host it, is right now it exposes some of the kits with the same name as what the final kit would be named, and I need to have some way to make the kits be positively indicated that they're pre-release kits and set to install in different directory tree and that type of stuff. And I just haven't had the time to work out how to set that up on all the projects.
Sure, sure. Getting some exposure in terms of the build activity and so on, I think, would be good. Okay.
But the thing is that it's taking advantage of the fact that it's got a Linux environment there, and then it's serving the files to VNS through NFS, and then you're using SSH to run the commands on VMS, and it's pretty flexible. And I want to eventually expand it to doing some of the stuff that's on VMS ports, and possibly get in some of the other projects like Craig Berry's building a Perl. If I put that under Jenkins. I think I've got enough capacity to do that on the hardware I have. So it's that remains to be seen. I'm also hoping to bring up some of my older equipment back online and get that being used to make older builds, or figure out how to get VMS 8.4 on a Multia.
Oh, yes.
The short-term goal is just to get everything in GNV into its own kit.
Right, exactly. Okay, great. Glad to see it's moving forward. Ton, you want to give us an update? We haven't heard from Europe recently. Muted, Ton.
Yes, I succeeded in unmuting. Hello, everybody. I'm very excited about the progress John has made and you all have made. It's pretty calm at this site. I just pulled some strings, and I can announce that we have somebody on board who is willing to be more active. I think you know him, Hans Flems, or I don't know how you pronounce it in English, but we will be more active in the open source porting machine. I don't know its state evenly, but I'm pretty excited that we will be more active in the near future. Gerrit is coming to the boot camp and the pre-conference. I'm pretty sure I can't, but maybe next year. Not much progress. I'm packed in for a movement that is not going very well, the moving. So I have no VMS running at the moment, so no porting activities yet. That's pretty much it from this side. So more people, but no progress.
Well, things in the future, that's fine.
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, we have someone known as Web Unknown 5, and I don't know who it is.
Yeah, that's me, Bill. This is Eric. For some reason, this is the first time I used Hello because I upgraded my laptop to a 10, and it doesn't display my name anymore.
Oh.
But anyway, I haven't really done a lot, but I did manage to, as a result of some IQ activity, take a look at the current libxml 294, which I did get to build pretty easily. The only issue it has is one of the tests appears to have a stack corruption that occurs, and I'm not really sure why. And I'm not really sure how easy it's going to be to figure out what's going on there. It does not appear to be what I would call a showstopper. We could probably use the kit as is in most cases, because the test that fails just tests ridiculously long tags that are like 10K long, which is not something you're typically going to encounter using it in most applications. So I'm pretty reasonably sure that it'll work fine otherwise. But I mean, I suppose we can, I can, when I finish wrapping it up, and then we can put it out there, we can have other people test it, but I don't have the time. It's going to take a long time to find out exactly what's going wrong, because it's a very hard bug to track down, and I can't easily figure out. I did build it with thread support, but the test that's failing is not one that's using thread, so it has nothing to do with threading. There is a test that does threading, and it passes, but that's not the one that fails. The other thing I've worked on recently is the Bash 4.4 Beta 2 build, which came out a little over a month ago now. The only issue I spotted with that is the Bash parser appears now not to correctly decode binary non-printable characters when it reads from a file into a Bash string that then executes as a command. I'm not sure. It obviously has something to do with the parser, because that's different between the 4.3 tree and the 4.4 tree. But I haven't really tracked down exactly what the problem is and why it does it correctly in 4.3 but incorrectly in 4.4. Let's see what else I've been working on. I've taken just a real quick look at seeing what is involved with building the Xlib client libraries, because the ones on EMS are so old that it's not really very useful anymore. I mean, it works in some cases, but there's a lot of benefits that were put into the new X releases that were not available in EMS because it uses such an older release of the X software. It looks like a lot of the stuff that the client libraries use builds fairly easily. But I haven't actually gotten enough together to test to see if I can actually build a working version of the XClient library stuff. I think that's all I've been able to do since last we spoke.
Okay. You were working on M4 and Bison. How's that doing?
I know Dave Jones has been patiently waiting for that code, and I think what I'm going to do is I'm just going to publish the code that I have now. I have not been able to put in the final fix for the read of the alternate mailbox when Bison causes M4 to launch Bash, which then feedback stuff through the pipe using the mailbox as opposed to shared memory. That's one fix that I've not completed yet. Once X is done, and as far as I can tell, the tests will pass. But I have not had time to go back and look at that. And that's the only change that is involved with respect to the code that Dave and Jones contributed. And so rather than just having him wait anymore, I'm just going to push it out to the Mercurial archive on SourceForge, and then he can at least start looking to see what I changed what he originally published.
Okay, for the pipe, for the DL pipe.
Yeah, and I'll actually do the same for the Bison. Right, and I'll do the same for the Bison code and the M4 code. I have it building in my box, but I have not made it so that anybody just grab it and build it on their machine.
Understood.
And mainly that just has to do with the fact that on my machine, I have my site configuration script, which sets up all the environment variables and everything for the build, which I would just have to incorporate into VMS source to launch the make script, and then it'll work. And then there's also the packaging. The PCSI packaging is not done yet either for those two things.
Okay. That's fine. We know everybody else has other things to do. You're not the only one. So.
Yeah, I know. I have my own internal goals, which I like to accomplish. I just have not been able to turn enough gears to get there.
Hi, I fully agree. I have that same problem myself as far as goals. Okay. Fine. I think that works fairly well this week. Month, whatever. And I see we've lost John. Don't know if his battery died or what. And John Regan, do you have anything that you want to query about or discuss?
No, other than, I mean, so one of one of my two presentations at boot camp is about what we are doing on the CRTL. And so, again, remember this, again, I'm a VSI only person. So this is, again, I don't, you know, no idea if this will ever show up on Alpha because I don't know if HP wants it from me or not. But we are trying for what would tentatively be version 8.5 to complete the C99 stuff in the RTL. So I have a standard int. I've redone intypes.h. We've order float.h, math.h. There's a lot of crap through there. And added most of the C99 printf modifiers and app things are already in the RTL. There's a handful that aren't. We're adding them. So I'm taking small baby steps, but I'm trying to get what I think is the C99 component of off my list besides the other 112 things on the list. So at some point, I probably can, if people, I don't know, I need to check internally how we want to test this. I know up to this point, you know, people who've been doing field tests for us have always signed these non-disclosures, etc. I'd like to figure out, I'll have to ask my management for some way when we get around to at least testing headers. They are easier to distribute and let people test with. I just want to make sure I'm not breaking anything.
Sure.
But we're not ready for that yet, but I need to ask. But at some point, that's kind of what we're doing in the short term. You know, obviously, we're mostly focused on the x86 port and what that all brings. And, you know, I'll be talking my other talk about using, you know, it's titled Code Generation with LLVM, but it's a little more than that. So, but yeah, I mean, we down the road for what of the x86 release and the Itanium that matches that, there's got to be some more work in the RTL as well, because on x86, given that we'll be having a Clang-based compiler as well as the DEX-C-based compiler, I have to have an RTL that's at least C11 compliant. So there's a lot more that comes in then as well.
Okay. Okay, good. Thanks for the update. Now, I have a question, actually, for the three of you who are the web unknowns. Eric, you'd mentioned that you'd upgraded to 10, and that's where you saw it change.
Windows 10.
Okay.
Yeah, with respect to the conference stuff.
Exactly,
yeah.
And that's exactly what I was thinking about. John Regan, are you on Windows 10?
No, this is a 7 machine.
That's a 7 machine. Tom?
I'm running Firefox on 7.
I'm running Firefox.
Tom, go ahead.
I'm also Firefox on 7, but I noticed I didn't have to log in, so maybe it doesn't know my name.
Yeah, something's broken. And Eric, are you running Firefox?
No, I'm running Google Chrome, actually.
You're on Chrome, but you're on 10. Interesting.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'll just throw it at the people who provide the service. Probably get nothing, but anyway, what you can say for free. Hey, let's move forward. I appreciate you guys being with me tonight and participating. I'll go ahead and get notes put together and get the recording cleaned up a bit, and I'll post it because I know some people like that. And look forward to seeing you guys in about a month, just before the boot camp. Any other closing items?
I just had a quick question that I guess maybe John Regan would be able to speak to more than anybody else. What is VSI's plan for how it is going to incorporate, if it's incorporated at all, the product that the open source on VMS group is currently trying to put together?
I'm not sure what the question is.
Well, I mean, we as a group are trying to put together a package which ultimately will be installable on OpenVMS. The question is VSI going to officially make any use of this in any way, or is it just going to remain with the open source and OpenVMS group, and we'll just independently read it of independently for VSI? In other words, VSI will take a hands-off approach. They may use it or they may not, but they are not going to actively, you know, distribute it with the OpenVMS or anything along those lines.
Oh, I see. We do have the open source thing that we ship, like Apache, that kind of crap on. That's a good question. I know for GNV, we just, in our release notes, we just point to the SourceForge site. And I think that's the strategy, I think, at this point going forward, because John does such a good job and everybody's good job of updating things, whether it's, like I said, Bash or the other components. If you wait for us, we're just going to be out of date. And I do use it. Matter of fact, I mean, I use GNV right now to build LLVM.
Do you know, does anybody else in VS use it for any purpose on yourself?
Yeah, some of the network people are using it. They were trying to build some DNS client or something. There's a handful of people that are using it, but I think the compiler people are probably the biggest consumers at the moment.
And specifically for LLVM in particular, when does CMake hit your horizon in terms of whether you need it to be available for you or not?
That is a really good question. So the version without making things too complicated for this, because I need to draw a picture for everybody, the version of LLVM that we're working from right now for the cross compilers is an older version of LLVM 3.4.2, because the C++ compiler on Itanium does not support C++ 11. So LLVM 3.4.2 was the last version of LLVM whose sources did not use C++ 11 syntax. So that LLVM builds with make and configure. But once we go native, I will bootstrap my way to a native, better LLVM, and that will need CMake. And we've already had some people look at CMake. I know I've had Brett Cameron look at it a little bit. And there are some, he said, there are some hairy parts to it. So, but I think I will probably want a CMake within the next year. But I have nobody actively looking at it. If somebody, you know, if somebody wants to go do the port, I would be very appreciative.
Hey. Well, I'm sure. I did look at it a year and a half ago. And the issue I had with it, with respect to building it was the way CMake builds, it bootstraps itself. It bootstraps a minimal version, which it then uses to build the full version. And it was the building the full version part that I could not get to run properly. And I might go back and look at it again in the next few months to see if I can push that along any further.
I know, certain, like, as you... You others may not know that the current versions of LLVM require CMake as the only supported build environment. They stopped supporting using make and configure. So I know I've been talking to some people, and certainly in the LLVM developers mailing list, the LLVM developers conference is early November. There's been a lot of discussion when LLVM went to CMake only. And I certainly chimed in that I'm on a platform where there isn't an easy CMake. And, there are some people from the CMake development community that also participate in the LLVM community. And I think at some point I'm going to try to, this November, you know, network my way in and talk to somebody, you know, shake some hands or talk to somebody in person who has connections into the CMake world and saying, you know, look, we really need it. We want to do it. Can you give us a hand? And when we're done, I mean, we're certainly going to be actively using it. And if we, you know, we can make sure that somebody, you know, once it's up and going, we can probably find an owner to keep supporting it going forward for VMS. Because I have no choice. I have to have it. And there's so many people now wanting to use it. I think it's becoming more and more popular. But, you know, in that world, you know, like I said, at the bootstrapping process, everybody assumes that, you know, they started on some Linux world. And so, which means that, you know, to bootstrap your way, you need good ancient tools to build the good new tool.
All right. Thank you very much.
Along the lines with CMake, John Mullenberg, the fellow at HP that was working on some things with CMake, wasn't he?
I don't recall that he was working on CMake. I think he was trying to get some stuff working on building on getting this GMV stuff to work on 8.2 and wanted to get GNU Tara updated.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody other than John Reagan mentioning CMake as far as somebody actually working on it. But I could have forgotten it.
At one point, Brett told me that there was somebody else in HP support.
Jake,
not Dan Buckley, but there was somebody else who, maybe Jay,
it was Jay. Okay. Jay Custin.
And I think I talked to him, and he said he's off doing something else and really hadn't looked at it in a while.
Oh, and one other thing is the buffer underrun that I found in GNU Bash, they don't consider it to be important because they said that in the cases where the buffer underrun occurs, it's in a forked process that immediately exits. So they don't see if there's any way to exploit it. That particular code is not conditionally compiled on VMS, so in any case, it doesn't affect us.
Okay.
But yeah, we found another bug.
Right. The last communication I have from Jake Custin seems to be around the end of or the beginning of December of last year, and so as far as CMake, in fact, as far as any communication, I may throw him a note and see where he is. See if he can get any further. Okay. Thanks a lot, guys. We appreciate you being with us. Thanks for the information and updates. We'll see you in September.